Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And we have our flashback by request coming up on the Phil Hendry Show. We would like to thank Bobby Dooley for joining us this evening, and also whoever that other maniac was in the first hour. It was who? Oh, Doug Danger. You're really something, Doug. Yeah, Da Vinci Code blows. I haven't seen it. All right. It probably does, but I think one would have to see it. Wouldn't one? My son was the first one in our family to read that. And he thought it was out of sight. And I looked up some of the stuff. It's like I look on the internet for things. I love the internet because it is the world's largest library, and it's a great research tool. So anyway, I'll give you an example. How do I put this? Because I don't want the individual to be identified. So I am going to replace the actual facts. I will, but the individual himself, I think I will characterize accurately. I know someone who operates a business, and this business is a bicycle repair shop, shall we say, okay? And this person needed funding to get this bicycle repair shop going, so he asked another person who has the money, and I found out who the person was that has given the money to this bicycle repair shop. All right, now all that's made up, the bicycle repair shop thing, but this isn't. I looked up this person on the internet, mobbed up, doesn't even begin to tell the tale. This guy is in with all kinds of gangsters, apparently, who run around in L.A. And I'm not talking about gangbangers and, you know, that kind of posse thing. I'm talking about La Cosa Nostra, mafia, our thing. Right? And I wanted to say to him, what are you, nuts or something, man? I mean, what, are you that hard up for dough? So, you never know, folks. You just never know. Doug Danger. Anyway, my kid was reading this Da Vinci Code, and I said to him, man, it's too bad, babe. You know, you're a young person, and your brain is getting completely twisted around with all kinds. I read some of the stuff on the net about this secret society. It don't even exist. When he first read the book, he thought it was all true, and I said, it's crap. It's hogwash. It's all made up. It's fiction. And it really freaked him out when he found out it was true. So we're looking forward to the movie. We're going to go as a family, eat a lot of popcorn, sit there and just laugh and howl and, you know, just kick our feet in the air with the... We're going to go as if it's a comedy. We've designed it, so we're just going to laugh throughout the whole thing, throw spit wads at the screen and pull out those little infrared, pointers and really bug the crap out of everybody. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So we do have our flashback coming up. News to tell you about. Be looking for the new Bobby Dooley and R.C. Collins gear in our souvenir shop. Don't forget that on Tuesday night, the 28th of March at 9:30, following Scrubs on NBC is the debut of Teachers. And in that, you will see Justin Bartha, Sarah Alexander, Dion Richmond, Khalil Rocha, Matt Winston, and myself, Phil Hendry, playing Teachers, a harried group, at a high school in New Jersey, and we think it's pretty funny. So check that out. And then on the 31st of March is our next webcast. If you'd like to see how we do the show, if you want to be one of those people that wants to see the show, because we have people, we just had another group of people in tonight, although it was my friend Luane from Knight Ridder newspaper. She's doing an article on our show, which is very cool, but most of the time it's just some creep. And but we welcome you, and we'd love to have you as part of our viewing family. It'll cost you $6.95, but what's $6.95 between friends? And then way off in the future, and when we get some contact information on this, we'll let you know. It ought to be any day now, like the next year. May 27th is the Phil Hendry Show Celebrity My Friends Place poker tournament at the Bicycle Club in Bell Gardens, baby. Isaac Hayes, the character Chef, was killed off Wednesday night, but mourned as a jolly old guy whose brains were scrambled by the Super Adventure Club. So basically what Matt Parker and Trey Stone have done, have killed off the Chef character because it was done, the voice was done by Isaac Hayes, who was very upset with the way Scientology was lampooned by South Park. And because of Hayes's very, you know, public complaint with South Park, I heard Matt Stone say, well, you know, you cash plenty of checks, man. Well, we were crapping all over Christianity. So guess what? You're fired. And well, they didn't fire him because I think he quit, but they killed him off. Paid him his last check, and now he can go off and do Shaft 6. Tom Cruise said that as a result of the Scientology episode, he would not promote Mission Impossible 3 on Comedy Central. And it's a perfect place to promote Mission Impossible 3, so that's too bad, man. Mission Impossible 3. That's right, baby. You want to get on Comedy Central, get all them comedy fans to watch that dreck. So the whole Scientology thing is just beginning to creep its, you know, its Scientological tentacles into everyone's brain. Soon it will eat right at the core of your spine. It will infuse with your medulla oblongata, and you will become some kind of an L. Ron Hubbard freak, and you'll, like, be renting Battle Earth Ground. I don't know what that flick is, but, man, it's way better than Star Trek. Beat the crap out of the first Star Trek movie, don't you think? You know how bad Battleground Earth was? Don't you think it was better than that first Star Trek movie about the man mating with Voyager? Please. So Isaac Hayes is history on that TV show, and so I got to put the call in, man, because, you know, I worked for those guys on Team America. Can I get that chef gig or any kind of a black guy gig? Well, I don't know, Phil. You're a nice guy, but, yeah, you know, I can do the, well, anyway, they know. In other news here on the Phil Hendry Show, we wanted to mention that they, apparently, we had a man catching a train, and he forgot his baby in a car. That was today. Another guy's kid wandered into a strip club yesterday. You know, I think that men have finally tired of the house husband thing. I think for a while there, it was very hip to say, you know what, honey, you go to work and I'll stay home with the kids. Because it's your right to pursue what you want to, and I'll stay home with the kids. Well, now, we're about, I don't know, let's say a decade, two decades into that. Yeah, there were the first rumblings of it in the 70s, but the house husband thing took off full bloom in the 80s and 90s, and what's happened now is the guys are tired of it, and, you know, all of a sudden you're reading about kids wandering into, you know, just wandering away. What, really? Yeah, the kid's on a train. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, bull crap, you didn't know it. You gave the kid a quarter, told him to get a token, pointed him uptown, and turned around and had your grape drink. Next thing you know, the kid is up in Harlem, and he's playing three-card Monte. He's four, a little tiny four-year-old guy. Or the guy yesterday, this kid wandered into a strip club. It's, forget it, guys don't want to do it. It's back to the drawing board for you ladies who would like to have a career and have your husband take care of the kids. As long as you don't mind a kid being in a strip club. Look, you want us to take care of the kids? Yeah. All right, he's in a strip club with me. Well, that's no place for, look at, I'll do it my way, you do it yours. Well, you said that you take care, he's fine. I brought him in to the Pink Lady Lounge. I got him a Shirley Temple, and I had myself about three fingers of Jaeger, and ho-ho, went to town. I even gave him a dollar bill. You know, we chick came out. She was dancing to You Can Leave Your Hat On. Gave her a 20. What do you want from me? I just don't think it's responsible. Well, the hell with it. Then I'm going back to work, man. I'm getting my job back working that steamroller for the city. The sooner the kid learns, the better. So that was the thing, that a guy forgot his kid. And then another guy I read about one day put his kid in his car seat. Then he was putting groceries into the car. And the kid in the car seat, what did he do with it? Well, he didn't know. He said, oh, I know, I'll put it on the roof of the car. So he puts the groceries in the car, gets into the car, starts the car, and takes off. He looks in the rearview mirror and sees this thing bouncing down the street. Now, fortunately, the kid was fine because the car seats are made, as you know, higher. They're much taller than the head of the kid. Now, it's a terrible accident, or was it? I think the guy said, if I just take off, I know the kid won't be hurt. It'll just bound on into that sort of grassy area off the highway. The kid will be found by Mr. and Mrs. Kent. They'll, you know, they'll knit a cape for him, and I don't even have to deal with it. And speaking of that, whoever that scumbag was that sent Superman to Earth, what a turd. Don't give me this crap about how your planet was blowing up. You shoot your kid off into space because you're too selfish to let him die with you? So that's the news on parenting. Our number is 1-800, and the only other parental piece of news that I want to give all of you guys is IR12. You know, I figure I send my kids to college. That's my contribution. Otherwise, I got nothing to tell them. Although I did give my son $300, my eldest guy, Nick. He goes to SC, and guess where they went on spring break? You got it, Mexico. Now, Mexico is a wonderful place. It's even better if you're 19. There's no better place on earth than Mexico when you're 19 and you got $300. Now, I didn't know he was going to do that. You know, I said, you got any more of that $300 left? He goes, not really. I said, Cabo? He goes, yeah. I said, I figured. I said, I thought you were going to use that for food, man. He goes, well, you know, one thing led to another. Yeah, one thing led to another. What was her name? Margarita? One thing led to another. By the way, we have a Margaret flashback, I'm told, by my good friend and producer Mark Newman, when she left her kid in the car so she could buy shoes, and the kid died. Now she, And she wanted, what is it called? She wanted the Jesse alert because she forgot her kid was in the car. She went to buy shoes because they had a special over there at Lord & Taylor. And when she came back, the kid was croaked in the car seat. Now she wanted the motor companies, you know, the automakers, to put a Jesse alert in the car. That is the sound of bacon sizzling so that you know you've left a kid in the car. So as you get out, you're just, oh, yeah, there's a kid here. So that's pretty sick and twisted. And more coming up here this hour on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Just a couple of pieces of crude and vulgar email to read to you, and we'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, we have the Margaret flashback coming up where Margaret leaves her niece Jessie in the car so she can go in and buy some great shoes that are on sale, comes back, and Jessie's all, you know, she's all in a heap, man. She's got X's on her eyes sitting there, and Margaret wants the Jessie alert, which is a little alert that they put into a car so you can know that you've left your kid there. It reminds you you've left your kid there. It's the sound of bacon sizzling in a pan. Here's the story about Isaac Hayes, just so you know. Isaac Hayes got a true South Park send-off Wednesday night, seemingly killed off but mourned as a jolly old guy whose brains were scrambled by the Super Adventure Club. Obviously a satire on the Scientology religion. The soul singer has voiced the chef character in South Park since 97, but left recently because of what he called the animated show's religious intolerance and bigotry. Matt Stone and Trey Parker said Hayes, a Scientologist, was mad that South Park mocked the religion in an episode last November. A rerun of that Scientology episode was mysteriously pulled off the air last week amid published reports that Tom Cruise, another Scientologist, has used his clout to bury it. However, Cruise denies this. Then Cruise said, well, yeah, I did actually do that, but I'm going to lie publicly, said someone who was drinking with him in a hot tub. Hayes didn't participate in making Wednesday's episode. The character's lines appeared to be patched together through tapes of past dialogue. Chef repeatedly said he wanted to make sweet love to the South Park elementary school kids. It seems the Super Adventure Club turns its members into child molesters. The children try to rescue Chef, but in the end, he turns to head back to the Super Adventure Club until he falls off a bridge onto rocks, is burned, stabbed, and mauled by a mountain lion and a bear. Then he apparently dies. However, the door for Isaac Hayes' return wasn't completely closed. In the show's final scene, members of the Super Adventure Club try to revive Chef, and it's not clear he's really dead. That's beautiful, man. That's a beautiful thing, man. All right, so we'll be looking forward to that. The other news, then we'll get to our flashback. Did Natalie Holloway... I haven't talked about Natalie Holloway because I avoid it like it's leprosy, and it just doesn't go away. Well, okay. Now the story is, did Natalie Holloway die from drugs and alcohol? They don't know. The cops in Aruba... Now, look, if you have a country, good for you. I'm glad you have a country. And if you put guys in a radio car and you paint little stripes on it, good for you. You've got cops. But don't tell me I've got to respect your crap can cops down there because they couldn't find their ass with both hands, let alone some girl that's missing. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. What is Aruba? Is it an island? Are there a lot of them or just one? There's one island. How far does somebody got to go, man? Where do you got to go? What's a brother got to do, man, to get a little help over here, okay? The girl is missing. Go find her. Instead, they're going, well, you know, now there's people saying that she might have been on drugs. Well, she might have been on drugs. So the official cop car statement down there by the coppers in Aruba, a bunch of guys that would make Barney Fife look like freaking J. Edgar Hoover, are now saying that, hey, well, you know, she might have been on drugs. She might have collapsed. We feel strongly she probably went into shock or something happened to her system with all the alcohol. Maybe on top of that, other drugs, which either she took or they gave her, and that she just collapsed, said the dumbass who runs their police department, Gerald, swear to God, this is his name, Dumb Pig. That's his name, Gerard, D-O-M-P-I-G, Dumb Pig, Deputy Chief of Police for Aruba. How do you like that? The guy's a cop, and his name is Dumb Pig. Oh, my God. That guy, talk about being born to the job. The cover-up may have ensued after the death, he said. Dumb Pig specified that witnesses did not see Holloway taking drugs, only that she had them in her possession. So in other words, the cops in Aruba, they don't know whether she had drugs, didn't have drugs, who she was with, who she wasn't with. She was with the guy, maybe she wasn't. Yeah, they don't know. Hey, why shouldn't I be worried about my kid going down? Are you guys stupid or what? Look, have whatever you want. Have your island. Let all the frogs go down there and all the Dutch people with their wooden shoes. They can plug up dikes all day long. They can bring their dike with them if they want. Don't tell me that I should feel good about my daughter going down there when Chief of Police Dumpig and his Royal Arubian Mounted Police couldn't find it with both hands and a flashlight. Give me a break. By the way, I want to tell you that guests of the Phil Hendry Show stay at the beautiful Sheraton Hilton in Aruba. Now, it's time for our flashback by request, Margaret Gray and the Jesse Alert.
Yeah, the only Jesse Alert there should be is one, I'll tell you what it should be. Her sitting in jail for 100 years ought to be the Jesse Alert. That would show people not to leave their kids in the car.
What did I do?
And if they left your niece in the car, that's what you did.
That's not my fault.
That is your fault. And not to mention, if they do put an alert in the car and you do get that, the only alert it should be would be to alert the police to come take you to jail. That's what I'd do.
You'd rather have the child stay there and slowly roast as I go to jail.
The police can come get the kid and you can go to jail. Because anybody who leaves their child in the car needs to be in jail anyway. I have three kids. I have three sisters and a niece. I take all of them with me to the store sometimes. When I leave the store, I make sure when I go in, I make sure I got them all with me. You don't forget
now,
a child.
Now, wait a minute. How do I know you're telling the truth?
Well, why would she lie?
So, they're standing in front of me. I don't have to prove to you.
Yes.
You're the psycho, not me.
I'd like to hear them all. Yes, go ahead.
Clayton, come here. Say something.
I'd like to get the child. Can I speak with the child?
You know what?
I want to speak with that child.
Because at least they're alive. And if you were my sister, you'd be dead right now.
I'd like to
kill my baby and walk away.
Are you kidding? I convinced my sister that it wasn't my... Let me talk. All right, let me talk to the child. Darling, honey.
They die because of people like you.
Has mommy ever left you in a car?
No, my mom never left me in a car.
Oh, you're speaking for her now. I thought she has constitutional rights.
She's an infant. You want to talk to her?
Yes, I do want to talk to her.
Huh?
Yes, I do.
Guess what?
What?
We're all alive, ain't we?
I'd like to speak with your mother.
My 10-year-old drives me crazy. How dare you say it's because of women that they just forget their kid? No mother forgets their child.
Why are those children crying?
If you forgot your child, you meant to forget them.
Why are those children crying? Are you feeding them?
My mom wants to talk to you
now,
honey.
Let me talk to her.
If this is not a joke,
ma'am,
you're an idiot.
I think you left her in the car because she sounds like her brain's roasting.
I have five kids and she has three. You're
oh, my God, you really breed in that family, don't you?
Oh,
you know
come
what?
On.
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot?
That's all there is to it. Women don't leave their kids in the car
if they care about it. Oh, they don't?
They leave them in the car because...
Ma'am, every summer children are dead.
Right?
Every summer children are dead in cars.
You need to be in jail.
I ought to be in jail. What about the guy in Detroit who made the car that allows your child to be...
But anybody who leaves their children in the car don't give a damn and they ought to be in jail.
When I bought my car, I didn't see a sign on it that said... defrosts in 5 minutes.
You didn't see a sign to leave them in the car either, did you, idiot?
You know something? I didn't know that I was buying an oven.
Hello? The only reason they have warning labels for CD players or seat belts or anything else is because the manufacturer of the car installed those items.
You know something, Nicole? You're just like every other woman. If you saw a pair of 8 1/2, 10, 9 wear shoes, you'd accidentally leave your kids in the car tomorrow, too.
Do you have children?
Do I what?
Do you have children?
Yes, I've got Jason J. Delmonico. He's an actor.
Guess what? God's going to take them from you before you get old enough to take care of them.
No one puts their paws...
Somebody like you does not deserve kids.
No one puts their paws on my child right now,
especially sitting on the radio acting like it's a big joke, because I think you're lying. You didn't leave no baby in the car, because you'd be dead right
now.
You'd be dead.
You'd be in prison.
It was negligent homicide.
Exactly, and you'd be in jail.
I got probation.
And you can sit there and talk about it like, ain't none. Oh, I saw her face red and beat red, no. You're an idiot.
Why should I worry about it? Just listen to the sound of your kids cooking while you're on the phone.
My kids aren't cooking.
Nicole, let me ask something. How many of your children have died as long as you've been on the phone on this talk show? How many children have stuck their fingers in a wall socket while you've been on the phone with me?
All right, look, never mind.
Because they're standing right here while my mom's watching them.
Standing there? Boy, I bet you they're bored to death.
I don't drive my babies off a bridge in a car. I don't drown my babies. I don't suffocate them. I take care of my babies regardless of how
they
are.
No, you just bore them to death.
All right, okay, Nicole, thank you.
And that's what you got to pay for. Whether they irritate you or not, you got to deal with it.
Very good point.
Nicole, I hope you always remember this sound.
And you know what? I hope you do, because that's what you're going to feel when you burn. When you die, that's what you're going to feel, because you're going to be burning like that.
You know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes?
Guess what, honey?
You look like a rube.
I might have a well-spent bad shoes. You know why I got bad shoes? Because I don't think shoes are more important than my baby. I don't think going to get a sale is more important than one of my children.
I know how the boys found you, Nicole, with all those tedious, sticky fumblings in the backseat of the car.
I think you like boys, honey.
When all you could do was think about getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I just want to read a couple of emails for you, but I will say just one thing, and this is just for your consumption. You can think what you want, but don't you think that when so many people are crapping all over Scientology, don't you ask yourself, what's up with that anyway, okay? I mean, why has everybody got such a huge hard-on for Scientology? I mean, if it's weird, it's weird. That's one thing. If it's weird, it's weird. I mean, religion, if you want my honest opinion, I mean, if you look at it from outside of it, it's strange as hell. And one religion, if I got myself outside of it, in other words, if I wasn't a member, say, of Catholicism, let's say, when I was raised Catholic, I can understand how people look at that and go, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to go and have the body and blood of Christ. Yeah, really? Well, that's great. We'll just wait in the car, man, if you don't mind. The body and blood of Christ. It's all whack. It's just all whack. But what's up with these people that are so, like, crazy about Scientology? You know, you don't know the secrets of Scientology. Oh, when somebody starts in with that, now I know I'm dealing with someone super paranoid, man, okay? It's like the guy, I was sitting in a diner one day, years ago. I'm sitting in a little coffee shop up in Sierra Madre, which is north of L.A., a little tiny town. Some guy sits down, and I'm reading the paper. He says, mind if I share your paper? I said, no, not at all. You know, I gave him a piece of the L.A. Times. He says, there are a group of us who meet on Wednesday nights. You see, the government has been watching us for a long time. The government knows what we're doing, but we know also what the government is. And the guy was at first talking stuff that I guess I kind of grasped about how, you know, the CIA is involved in this. But gradually, as I listened to this dude, I knew that he was stark raving mad. I mean, he was talking about, you know, maybe they even got his house bugged. Now I knew the cat was wacky. He was like 300 pounds of sort of, but light on his feet. There was something about him that just shrieked, chicken hawk. So I got out of there. At the time, I was only 12. I was having a cup of coffee and a Marlboro. And I said,
sure, you can share my paper. No problem, mister.
You know, so when a guy says, like, Scientology's weird, but the guys that are weirder, now, I'm not talking about South Park. You can make fun of a religion. That's the American way. Except, unless, of course, it's Islam. Don't do that. Don't do that, man, because they will pull your fingernails out. Not the Islams. Knight Ritter, Clear Channel, the New York Times, and the LA Times. Don't you dare, ever. You guys over at South Park, don't you ever do an episode about Islam. Otherwise, you're going to get some ragheads wanting to pay a visit to you, and nobody will protect you at Comedy Central. They'll run the other way, man. They'll say, we told you so, as they sit there throwing logs onto a nice, you know, just a nice fire up there at their cabin at Aspen, and they wait for Jack to come around with a flask. And Trey and Matt are getting cooked, just turned on a spit by a bunch of guys in turbans. Meanwhile, the Comedy Central Brain Trust is up trying to get on a lift up at Aspen and going, too bad about the boys, isn't it? Well, what do you think Jack's up to, huh? I hear Buffett's written a song. Don't you ever make fun of that. But in America, we're free to make fun of Christianity, Judaism, Scientology, Methodists, and all of them, and Buddhists, and all of them, and the guys with the cardboard hats. What are they called? Greek Orthodox and Serbian Orthodox, all of that, except for Islam. That's the only religion you can't make fun of in America. And what we're going to do is rewrite the Constitution of the freaking United States of freaking America and make sure Thomas Jefferson's spinning in his freaking stinking grave. It'll say you have freedom of speech, unless we're talking about ragheads. Then you can't say diddly squat. I almost said the S word. One of these days I'm going to say it, and when Mark reaches to dump it, I'm going to shoot him. God, that tightens my jaws. I ain't kidding you, man. All right, so let's do a little email. Here's one from Stephen Hall in El Paso. He says, Phil, I'm a federal law enforcement officer. He says, hi, Phil. I'm a federal law enforcement officer in El Paso, Texas, and I started listening in San Diego in about 1995 or 1996 while I was working as a Border Patrol agent. I've always enjoyed hearing your political points of view from time to time and wondered if you've heard of anything Christopher Hitchens has to say on the war or anything else. He seems to just destroy people in debates on the war, and I was wondering what you thought of the guy. Thanks for all the laughs, Phil. Stephen. Christopher Hitchens is a guy, if you don't know who he is, a longtime leftist, not just a liberal, but a leftist, a socialist, who is, like myself, in favor of the war in Iraq. He believes it's an absolutely correct war to be engaged in. And I'm a registered Democrat, and yet I agree. So what do I think of Christopher Hitchens? I think that he's an honest man. He's also brilliant. And you're right. He has absolutely whipsawed every lightweight that they've thrown up against him in debates. He took that George Galloway, that real scumbag from Great Britain who's a member of parliament. He ripped that guy a new ass. This while they were hooting him down and yelling at him. But Hitchens is brilliant. His writings on the war in Iraq, if you're a supporter of the war like I am, read them. They're coming from the point of view of a socialist leftist who believes that this is the new war on fascism. And that's why, you know, I talk about fascism, because that's exactly what we're fighting in Iraq. Fascists, Nazi, anti-Semitic scum. And by the way, congratulations. The guys, the hostages were released. They were helped by coalition forces who are fighting in Iraq. But that's okay. The families of the men who were released, no thanks is necessary. And I see you weren't going to offer anyway. They get their family members back by way of the coalition forces that they call occupiers. And the whole thing's just a big screw up, right? It never would have happened if the cats weren't there and blah, blah. Yeah, I'm sure those guys would have been there if Saddam was still there, too. At least they got a chance to go over there and start pitching Jesus. What do you think of that? Think about that. If we hadn't gone in there and kicked Saddam's ass out of there, then all the Bible bangers wouldn't have been able to go in there and start, banging the Bible about Jesus. So we opened up a new marketplace for Bible banging, and they're ingrates. Wow, does that tighten the old jaws. I think a lot of you cats that are over there trying to set up another franchise of Jesus Incorporated, you ought to at least send a note of thanks to the United States military. Because you cats are over there, you got a whole new market for Jesus Incorporated. You're going to start turning a whole lot of guys that were, wrapping turbans not too long ago into good, bona fide, Main Street, blue suit wearing Christians with the hard shoes and white socks, and you're all in a heap over it. God. Here's another letter. Dear Phil, I was dying laughing reading about that Dave Lenahan guy who got fired for calling Condoleezza Rice a coon and saying it was a slip of the tongue. Yeah, a slip of the tongue. It reminded me of when Galen Shaw came on your show and kept saying porch monkey over and over and kept saying that he fell into that from time to time. That was the funniest stuff ever. My girlfriend and I were in tears. I hope you preview it on your Life Imitates Phil. Can't wait for the TV show. Starts as soon as I get home from work. Perfect timing. Let me take a look at this here. Thanks very much, Wayne, for printing it off. Some dude by the name of Dave Lenahan. After 8 days on the air, Dave Lenahan made what is quite clearly an unfortunate tongue malfunction regarding Condoleezza Rice. Lenahan was listing what assets Rice could bring to the league. Including her tenure as a top academic officer at Stanford University and the fact that she is African-American. She's just got a patent resume of somebody that's got such serious skill, Lenahan said on the air. She loves football. She's African-American, which would kind of be a big coon. Oh, my God, I am totally, totally, totally sorry for that. Okay, I didn't mean that. That was just a slip of the tongue. But anyway, she looks like a real good coon to have clean my stove, said Lenahan. Yeah, well, hey, dude, at least you admit it was a slip of the tongue. But you weren't sitting at home talking to your uncle, you know? At STL Media, Mike Anderson has been all over this audio. Based on what I heard, the guy actually had a brain fart and committed a slip of the tongue. It seems instantly aware of how his mistake would be. Oh, come on. Who's kidding who here, folks? There ain't no liberals and there's no conservatives, okay? There's just scumbags on both sides. I told you about that friend of mine who said she wanted to kill Bush. I told her if you were a man, I'd kick your ass. I swear to God, and I mean this, and I may get my ass beat. Next time I hear someone say Bush should die, I'll invite them outside, and they may kick my ass, but I'll fight them. They got a goddamn, excuse my language, but they got a fight. They have a fight. Like I said, I might get my ass kicked, but I won't sit and listen to anybody say that again. And this was a woman, so I let it pass. But you want to know something? She's out of my life forever. Her name? Maria Sanchez. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, baby. She wouldn't say that. And these guys, you know, these cats that call themselves liberals and they're calling Condoleezza Rice a coon. Hey, man, don't think that was a slip of the tongue. Those cats will say anything, do anything. They hate the woman because she's a Republican elevated her, I guess. I guess they're really upset because it was a Republican administration that made a black woman the Secretary of State of the United States. Like that's something to really be unhappy about, right? I'm sorry it was Bush. You know, you think he's a scumbag and the next best thing to Hitler. But, you know, I guess Hitler don't know his coons. I guess Bush better brush up on his coonology. What's he doing putting a coon in there, Secretary of State, huh? Are you a Democrat? I'm a Dixiecrat. Oh. Dig it, man. Yeah, you're all for the people of Iraq, right? It's a real tragedy over there, ain't it? I don't know about Iraq or any of them turban rappers, man. All I want to get to the White House in 19, 2000, whatever the hell year it is. And Hillary ain't going to get elected president. I know that, man, but we got to get somebody up there. Well, what do you think? We ain't got nobody else. I got to put Hillary in there. God, talk about... I got the cat you ought to run, man. For president of the United States, Democrat? That lady with the... got her legs blowed off. Now, she is a Democrat, but she was a combat soldier in Iraq. Tammy Duckworth. She's a major or colonel? Lieutenant major. And she said she was privately opposed to the war, but she went over and did her duty. Now, that's a perfect candidate for president for the Democrats. And I'm a Democrat. I'd vote for her, man. The legs are gone. She's funny. She said all she needs is an Allen wrench, and she could be 6'8". And she said, no, I wasn't in favor of the war, but by God, I went over there because that's my duty. And I'm not a gutless wonder like some of these Army guys that ran home to mommy and said, all I wanted was a bowl of Campbell's soup, Mom. This has been World in Review with me, Phil Hendry. We'll be right back after this word from the United Coon College Fund.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
This guy, Dave Lanning, says St. Louis radio talk show host who was fired after saying a racial slur on the air was suspended by his by the Logan College of Chiropractic as well. Boy, this poor guy. He said that Condoleezza Rice was a coon, and so the station fired him. Now, the radio station probably, I will tell you right now, KTRS in St. Louis, this is St. Louis, ladies and gentlemen, so it's probably a sure bet that about 90% of the people that work behind the scenes at KTRS usually use the word coon. Even some of the black folks. You know, St. Louis, as a radio market, is one of the most backward that the god of our parents' choice ever allowed to exist. It is a burg. It is a backwater. It is a frightening, horrific backwater. And it is no place for anybody to go on the radio and think that they're going to shake it up. Because those rednecks down there, man, they will hang you out to dry. You got too many bottom line suckers down there. And this poor guy, this Dave Lenahan, who's probably some moron that doesn't have any radio experience. What do you want to bet? The reason why I say that, how come this guy's teaching anatomy and neuroanatomy at a chiropractic college? Holy God, this man has education. What's he doing on the radio? The man's anatomy and neuroanatomy, and he's doing a talk show in St. Louis, which is the same thing as basically sticking your head in the oven and turning it up to broil. Jesus! Now, I have no idea whether this man's a professional broadcaster, and why do I say that? Because if you're a talk show host in America today on a radio station, there's a 50-50 chance that they found you working at an ice cream stand someplace, or they found you selling shoes, or they found you picking your nose outside of a, you know, at a Carnation Deli or something, man. The 50-50. Sometimes you're a professional broadcaster, and sometimes the general manager thinks you're just, so funny. He sticks your ass on the air and says to the world that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread until you take one look at Condoleezza Rice and ask, when did Buckwheat get back in town? And the next thing you know, he's firing you and distancing himself from you as if he never met you. That's the kind of scumbag that you usually meet in St. Louis radio. Now, this guy, the general manager of KTRS, Tim Dorsey, went on the air and announced to listeners that Lenahan would not be back. There were excuses made for it, that it was a slip of the tongue. There's no excuse for what was said, Dorsey said. Dave Lenahan has been let go. He will not be back at KTRS, and I all want the listeners to know, I want everyone to know, that what he had said does not reflect on the feelings of anybody at this station, and in fact, exactly the opposite. We love darkies, and we employ them as sports talk hosts and sometimes on the overnight shift. Naturally, and I'm sure you understand, we would never put a black person on our morning show. So Mr. Lenahan, who we could replace with a real good coal black host, forget it, said Tim Dorsey, general manager of KTRS, down in St. Coon, Missouri. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, why don't they get me on there on KTRS? I think we don't have a St. Louis affiliate. I'd like to go on the air there. I'd like to try and repair some of the damage done by that redneck Dave Lenahan. Yeah, chiropractor, sure. Sure, I'll bet you adjust people, man. But if they're black, I bet you put them in a headlock and whisper stuff into their ear like, boy, don't let the sun set on you. I want to go on KTRS radio, and the first thing I'll do when I get on KTRS radio is I will say what I've felt for a long time, that Condoleezza Rice is nothing but a shiny-faced buckwheat in training, big, buck, black. I'm kidding. I know Condi Rice, as a matter of fact, and we're having coffee. I love her, and I need her.